you're all set, young gentlemen and ladies. I'll tell you what, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen tonight. It is Sunday. I'm Steve Strusinski. If you listened to the show before, great. If it's your first time listening, we're going to have a lot of fun. Sam's next to me. Mark's next to me. How's everybody doing tonight? And Brandon, our fourth outdoorsman right now, is behind the glass. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Great. How are you, man?
Every day's a gift. Just came back from Laughlin, Nevada. Had 4 days of 90 degrees. It was perfect. We left at 4:30 Wednesday morning and got picked up by the Uber guy.
Uber guy.
And, you know, it was snowing like a son of a gun. It was just nasty. We get out there, it was 90 degrees Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and came home Saturday and to this stuff. But we missed all the bad stuff. So it was a wonderful 4 days for Diana and me. Yep.
Was there any surprises?
Let's see. Should I say I was surprised that I lost a lot of money? Not a lot of money, but I lost money.
No, I'm saying like with the how good of a deal it was, did you have to do any presentations?
Oh, no. If you guys weren't listening last week, I was telling these guys, honest to God, we were at the Riverside about 4 years ago or something like that. I've been there maybe two or three times in my entire life, but they send you stuff, you know, emails and all of that. And I bit the bullet one day, and I called them back. All right, what kind of deal you got? Diane and I flew out there, 4 days, 3 nights. The flight included the hotel, transfers, everything from the hotel to the airport and back. $70 total.
Did you wake up in a bath of ice with a
kidney missing? Nice rooms, everything like that, you know, and it was wonderful. They know you're going to lose money. You know, they're going to make money. We don't go crazy. One thing that bothered me, and we had a wonderful time. Food was great. Took a nice cruise on the river, a dinner cruise, a prime rib night. It was just a great, great time, and had a lot of fun. Played a round of golf at Laughlin Ranch Golf Course.
Do you rent clubs?
Yeah, but, you know, because it costs you about $50 to haul your golf clubs. I don't want to do that. I'm not that good. I'm not that serious that I've got to have my stuff.
It's almost as much as the entire trip.
But it is more than, yeah, for both. It was $100 to rent clubs, I think, is
each
what it
way.
Was. Yeah, but, and that's a gorgeous course, and they have beautiful, really nice golf clubs for you to use. They're all Callaways and all brand new. So, yeah, so it was fine. Mark.
It's funny. Stu texted me, and I knew he was golfing. It said 90, he goes, 93 today. And I go, hey, that's pretty good without your club. He goes, no, that's the temperature out there.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't golfed yet. But we had a lot of fun. Hey, one thing that surprised me, and again, I'm not a big gambler. I made a good living, and I'm very blessed. We've got a few bucks in our pocket, but I don't want to throw it away. I don't want to give it all back right away. And if I'm going to play blackjack, I used to be able to play those $3 tables, you know, and I remember one time up in Ely, Minnesota, Tower Sedan's Casino up there. I won 13 hands in a row without doubling. I know you're supposed to win one and double your bet. Yeah, I know that. But I just didn't have the guts to do it. Well, now it's $5 is my max. But all they had in all the casinos in Laughlin, Nevada, probably all of Las Vegas right now, is $10 minimum. $10 minimum in every casino. Man. And wow. I just don't want
to
do it.
You go to a place like Laughlin thinking that it's going to be, you know, $2 or $3. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a lot of money.
But we did find a couple of hotels, well, maybe a half a mile down from us, that were smaller that had the video blackjack for $1, $3, $5, and all this. We played that for a while, and we pretended like we were playing, got our cocktails, and then you know, we tipped a dollar and kept playing again. But no, it was a lot of fun.
And you brought back Interstate Meat for me.
That's right. I brought back, Mark, a surprise. The prime rib we had Friday night was so good. I mean, and I could have eaten it all. Dinah ate all of hers. I could have eaten all of it, but I wanted to surprise Mark, and so I put that. It was in the refrigerator all night. We packed it in like a cold beer and might have been even a frozen bottle of water in the suitcase, and it was still cool when we got here, so it's in your refrigerator right now. He said he hasn't tried it yet, but you got to try it, all right? You got to try it. Don't waste it.
I gave him a ride home, and he opens up his bag, and, you know, he's got like a bag in like a wrapped tin foil. I'm like, what did you get me?
And Mark is thinking.
He brought me meat home.
Mark was hoping it was gummy bears, but that wasn't going to happen. But no, it was fun. So I'm telling you, you can't pass it. So we might have spent $700 or something like that. Who knows what it was for all the time we spent out there, which is a great vacation for 4 days in the sunshine. So pretty lucky.
Yeah. And isn't the guy, the Laughlin guy, is from Minnesota?
Yeah,
Don
Laughlin.
Do you know
Laughlin
his story at all?
Well, you can look up his. Don Laughlin is from Winona, Minnesota. And when he was a kid, did a paper out and all this. He's probably close to 90 right now, but he still lives in the hotel where we were He's got a couple of different hotels right down there on the 15th, 18th floor. Who knows where it is? But he got enthralled with his mom and dad back then. There were slot machines in all the bars. And when you go with his mom and dad, they take him, have a beer, you know, like Wisconsin people do. And he'd watch his mom and dad play slot machines for a nickel. And it wasn't legal, but it was frowned on, but it wasn't illegal. And he got excited. He just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So he ended up, when he was in high school, raising money, I don't know if it was paper out or whatever, and bought four or five slot machines and put them in bars and started making a lot of money. And his high school, he was a junior in high school, and his teacher, somebody, the principal said, you know what, I know you're doing this business thing with these slot machines, and I think it's taking away from your education. Either you get rid of the slot machines, or you may as well drop out of high school. And he said, well, I make a lot more money than you do right now. I'm out of here. And he ended up going to Las Vegas, worked as a dealer and whatnot, learned the business for a couple of years, ended up buying a really tiny old casino and started doing his thing, and eventually bought the land in Laughlin and built the bridge from Arizona to Laughlin, Nevada. And he just – it's just from nothing, just from nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great story. But look up the video. You can watch about a 15-minute movie of his life, Don Laughlin, Laughlin, Nevada. It's really well worth seeing.
That is pretty cool.
It is cool. So
stay in school, kids.
Yeah.
Unless you make a lot of money illegal gambling.
Yeah. Unless you're doing slot machines on the side, stay in school.
Yeah, but that was cool. So what about you? Now, my son, you went hunting with my son Mike.
I did. I finally got out duck hunting. It felt so good to get out. Beautiful morning, snow coming down. It was chilly. He has a great little pond on his farm property, and he invited me out. Well, Stru invited me out, and he was nice enough to take me. And so we walked down. We sat next to a tree, put out some decoys. Luckily, I don't have a dog, so I had waders, and so I could wait out.
You were the dog?
I was the dog, yep, and sat down, and we shot two teal and one wood duck in the first 20 minutes we were there. Of course, I'm jabbing away drinking coffee, and all of a sudden Mike stands up and starts blasting. I'm like, whoa, I got to pay attention. I keep forgetting.
He didn't warn you?
That's why I like duck hunting, because I can talk and drink coffee and whatever. But it was beautiful. It was really fun to do, and hopefully he's going to build a blind with me, and we're going to put it down there, and if he likes me, I can go there whenever I want.
He likes you, but now we got to sweet talk him into letting you hunt for deer this year, maybe for a day or so. But
yeah, we haven't really figured out what we're going to do for deer yet. I know Sam invited us to his property, but I don't know. All the bucks are dead on his property. Yeah. Let me tell us that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this week I got a new blind for my father-in-law's side of the property, and we decided to put it up on Wednesday. So we went out there, and, you know, it was just after, what was it, a day or two? When did we get that big snowfall? Was it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay, so we were on Wednesday, and we put this blind up. You know, we had to haul it all out there and put it up on, you know, 10-foot 4x4s and braced it. You know, it took us, you know, a couple hours to get it up, and it has a platform that comes off the door and then a ladder that goes up to it, and I'm sitting on the platform with my legs hanging off, and I'm putting on the railings, and I look down, I'm like, there's a dead deer right there. It was not even 10, 15 yards from where we put this blind up. And I crawl down, I walk over to it. And sure enough, someone unfortunately and illegally shot a deer and just cut the head off.
That's crazy.
Oh. Do you think they shot it with a bow?
No, that you could see the gunshot. It was a gunshot.
Really?
Yeah, you can see right where he shot it. At first I thought it was a coyote kill because they it started to eat the back end of it, and then I started looking at it more, and it was definitely shot. And someone literally just didn't even cut like the neck off; they cut just like the head off. And so we had that snow on Tuesday. The snow around it was melted, so it was obviously like within the last day. And it's pretty unfortunate. And I have a few really, really nice bucks on this property running around, and I'm like, you know.
Yeah, you have no idea what's gone.
Exactly. And I'm just, honestly, I was just mad. Like, I was so mad. So disrespectful. You know, I love hunting, but I always do it ethically. Like, you know, he didn't even take any of the, or he or she didn't even take any of the meat, left it. And the funny thing is when we pulled up to this big 5-acre field, two huge eagles flew off. And they were in the middle of the field, which is kind of weird for eagles to be hanging out.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. You know, like we start putting this blind up, and like I said, we were 10, 15 yards away from that they were eating on that deer.
So after you shot the eagles, you went and go.
Yeah. So those, I dropped those at the taxidermy.
No, him.
I just cut the heads off.
Yeah.
No, I was devastated. My father-in-law was with me, and he was like, we were both pretty bummed. And
well, just think of you spent money on this property.
Yeah.
You plant food plots. You cut shooting lanes. You put up tree stands. You put so much time, effort, energy, devotion into growing nice bucks on your property, and then someone comes along, shoots one, and cuts off the horns.
I know, and I told Mark this before, and I mentioned to you, Stu, and like Mark said, like, how could you, like, put that in your garage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, yeah, that's, you know, show your buddies.
Look at this beautiful buck I shot.
Look at this beautiful deer I poached. Like, how can you go lay your head at night and say, oh, this is easy, you know, like, this is...
It's kind of like Montgomery Gentry. Is that who did that? They got that black bear, and they, oh, they bragged about this big black bear, but
Montgomery
it was...
Montgomery Gentry, the country singer?
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
Yeah, and, oh, that was about 5 years ago now, and they got it not only in a fenced area, they got it, like, in a cage. He shot it in a...
Oh, wow.
You know, it was... It was raised, and it was a big black bear, and they shot it, dragged it out, took pictures and all this... And they got fined and whatever. It was a big deal.
Yeah,
one of the boys. Yeah,
one of the most recent poaching on the for a celebrity on the Outdoor Channel is Chris Brackett, and he was hunting in Illinois or Indiana, maybe Indiana, and it was muzzleloader. And there was this farmer who was like, "Yeah, there's two really big bucks out there," and he just had one tag, and he shot this buck, and it run. You know, he hit it and it ran off and died. And while he was still sitting there, another bigger buck came out, and he reloaded his muzzleloader and shot it, and he left the first one. Well, here's what he did wrong besides that. He ticked off his cameraman like a year later.
Really?
They got into this huge argument. Cameraman had all of this on tape.
Oh, is that right?
And he subcontracted the cameraman, so that cameraman technically owned that material.
Yeah.
And I know his name, Chip, he released everything. And Chris Brackett, from being from the hottest Outdoor Channel to he's nobody right now.
I don't know who Chris Brackett is.
Fear No Evil.
Okay, now I know who Chris Brackett is.
Yeah,
okay.
So he...
Never piss off someone that has tape on you.
Yeah. And then it came out, he like started releasing all this stuff. Like, there was a video of him like harassing the cameraman for breathing too heavy. Like, he was just unfortunately an angry individual and ticked him off, and he released all the tapes of him poaching. But yeah, it's not cool. You know, like Mark said, we've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this place, and... You know, I take pride in it. It's my biggest passion, yeah. You know, and when you see that, you get upset.
And really unfortunately, you know, this Chris Brackett probably got fined, $500 and 1 year suspension of his license, hunting license or something like that,
yeah.
Which is nothing, considering I think the offense warrants. That's my opinion. But,
and besides that, though, he got it good because he lost every single sponsor he had.
There you go.
Kicked off the show, as he should.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was probably making good money doing that.
I've been teasing Mark today with a couple of photos that I got. He was at my son Mike's property, and after they hunted, they took a golf cart Mike has, an old golf cart, and Mike was giving him a tour of the entire property for the most part, and he jumped a doe, right?
Yeah.
And so this afternoon, Mike sends me a picture of a very nice buck on one of his trail cameras, and I sent it to Mark. And then, you know, the 10 acres that we were looking at up in Asco of a couple of weeks ago, well, the gentleman who owns it, my second cousin sent me a picture of a beautiful big buck.
What was the one you texted me with a turkey? There was like, you said deer or turkey?
That was my son, Mike.
Oh, okay. That was a nice deer.
Yeah, yeah. And Mark's excited now because he's got to find some place to decide. Now you have options this year, Mark.
Well, I haven't got a formal invite anywhere, so. Besides for Sam.
I was going to say.
Yeah. But all the deer on your property are dead. And have no heads.
Yeah.
No. I'm getting pictures as we're talking. There's definitely still a lot of deer out there.
Did you bring those slugs for me?
I did.
And speaking of slugs, did you ask him the question out in the lobby about can you shoot?
Well,
do you have
to
get a special choke for your shotgun? What do you
want? No choke or a silver?
You have to have some type of choke. You want to like a open,
yeah, which would be like what it's
improved
called?
Cylinder.
Improved cylinder,
yeah. You just can't do a full choke.
Yeah,
you could, but it just is very close.
Would it blow out the end or what?
Try it.
No, like I don't know anything about this stuff, but I've got the.
I've never hunted with slugs before.
I've got the 870. The first I've only done it 1 year when I was 13 or 14 years old, And that was a 20 gauge. But now we've got the 870 Remington, and if it comes from the factory, it does have some kind of an open choke, you're saying, right?
Yep, cylinder. So, it says it's cylinder.
So if I'd never done anything to this gun, this shotgun, I can shoot a slug out of it without blowing up.
I'd want to look at it. Do you know what gun is it?
A Remington 12-gauge 870, I think.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Well, it should be fine. It's not good enough for me. I need.
We'll look at it.
This is coming from the guy who shot a round that's too big for his gun.
I didn't shoot it. Yeah,
what? He jammed a 3.5-inch shell.
Oh
into,
yeah, that's
into his
right.
gun, like one at a time.
If you come, which I want you to, we'll look at that. And if that doesn't work, I have a gun you can use.
Is it a junior stock?
No. It's not junior, it's bantam.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That was fun.
Is it left-handed?
No.
Hey, you guys, you know that Sid Hartman, of course, passed away. And you're a lot younger than I am, of course, but I know everything about Sid Hartman. I've known him, listened to him for 40 years, easily 40 years. Yeah. And he's been on, they said, honest to God, they said that he was born the same year that the United States government prohibited delivering children by mail. That's the truth. That's what I heard right on CCO.
What?
That's what I heard. So I got the right story and the facts aren't right, but that's what I heard. It's almost to a quote. But they published something in Minneapolis Star and Tribune today, which I haven't read, which was top 100 stories or the weird things that he had said. And I heard a couple of things on radio today with who was his talk show host? You know, the sports guy. I forget his name. But
Rosen?
Anyway. No, not Rosen. You'll know who he is. But anyway, so they had him on the air, and they're talking, and some guy calls in and says, hey, we got Mike Giant Johnson from Chisago. And Mike says, you know, Sid, I love what you do, but I hate it when you interrupt everybody, you know? And I thought, and Sid something, and she said it again. You said it again. Let me talk. And says, I don't want you to talk. Well, I'm sorry, Sid, I don't want you to talk. And they're hollering back and forth, and Sid hangs up on him. And his partner says, Sid, that's why people have an issue with it sometimes, because you're so short with them. And he says, I want nothing to do with somebody from Chicago. The guy from Chicago should not be calling in. His buddy says, Sid, he's from Chisago, okay? That's right north of the Twins, Chisago. He goes, never mind.
Was it Dave Mona?
Yeah, Dave Mona. Yeah. Boy,
good call, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that too, and you know, guy lived a great life. You know, 100 years old.
He was tough to deal with, boy.
But the thing is, too, is you got to give him his work ethic. Even going into his late 90s, he was at every sporting event.
Yeah. He was tough to deal with. As a matter of fact, if you read the Outdoor News this week, Mr. Peterson is the owner of the Outdoor News, I think, and he was writing for the Minneapolis Tribune, did the outdoor fishing and hunting stories or page every Sunday, and Sid came up to him one day and said, you know what? No one likes to hunt and fish anyway. No one likes to talk about hunting and fishing. No one likes to read about hunting and fishing. That's why the Tribune is shutting you guys out of the paper. They just took it off out of the paper.
Huh.
And so he lost his job as a result of Sid wanting more football, baseball, those kind of things in there. And as a result of that, this guy now started the Outdoor News
successfully years ago.
Sid Hartman.
Yeah.
We have to go soon, but Sid coached the Minneapolis Lakers?
Not really. He was in.
I saw that. Like, what?
Yeah, he was. He got him
I
here.
I didn't know that.
He was a general manager, unofficially the general manager. He helped get him here, and so they let him on the bench and helped. He was just a pain in the backside sometimes, helping people make decisions. But he's a good guy. Hey,
Stru.
What?
We have some awesome guests tonight.
Fun guests.
Why don't you do something in radio called a tease and tell us who is going to be on the 4 Outdoorsman?
Teaser. Well, Craig Engwall is going to be on at 6:20 in a couple of minutes here. He is the executive director of the MDHA and a good friend of Mark Fisher's. Ron Scherer is going to be on at 6:40. Be right back.
The 4 Outdoorsmen, just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
Hey, Stru Man here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
What does that ski-doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome. Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that ski-doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. It's a lot of fun, boy. I tell you what, we've had some great stories early on. I'll tell you, stick around after for Mark Fisher and Larry Hansen and
Tommy Newstrom.
And Real Talk Outdoors, something like that. But those guys are following us at 7 o'clock. Join them as well. Right now we've got, I'm guessing, Craig Engwall. Craig, are you there, buddy?
I am here.
Craig Engwall, Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. How you doing?
I'm good. And you got glad to hear you got another Grand Rapids area guy with Tommy Newstrom after me.
Yeah, he's a talker. I'll tell you what, I've been listening. We're out of here at 7 o'clock, and on the way home, Mark and I and Sam will listen to those guys, and it's a lot of fun. And Tommy, if he and I were on the same show, I don't know if anyone else could ever talk because he talks about as much as I do, man. He likes to hold a.
That'd be an easy one to be a guest on because I could just listen.
He likes to hold a conversation. And I love his stories, and Mark just gave me a little thumbs up because he's always got little stories about history of hunting and fishing around the state of Minnesota or something. He's a card. I got to meet that guy.
It's good radio.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. What's new at the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association? Boy, you're getting revved up right now, aren't you?
I am, and when I look out the woods, I think I should be getting ready for muzzleloader season, though, with a few inches of snow and temps in the 20s. But, we're getting fired up.
I've never shot a muzzle in my life. I mean,
it's not an 870, but it'll work for you.
Yeah, but I won't know how to load it or anything. What do you? I mean, you got to stuff cramped down
now.
The barrel.
They have what they call inline, so they're pretty easy. Yeah. You can learn quickly.
You know, I think when I was a couple of years ago, the last year I went deer hunting, it might be 3 years by now, it was a couple of years, and I went out to the Oakdale Gun Club, And I've got a 30-30 Marlin. I used to have a 30-30 Winchester that my old man had, and it got stolen from my house years and years ago in Matamidi. But so I'm out there sighting in my 30-30 Marlin at 50 yards because up in Ely, it's all ridge and swamp, and there's no – it's not like hunting, you know, out of your big deer stand and hay bales. And I'm shooting 50 yards, and I'm hitting within 5 inches, whatever it is. And a guy with a muzzle loader next to me was – shooting the same distance with a muzzleloader and hitting bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. And I thought, well, this doesn't seem fair. But and so I don't know. How far do those things shoot?
Oh, you can shoot up to 100 yards. I mean, they're getting better and better. It depends on what you're shooting, but you can certainly shoot 100 yards.
What's new with the MDHA now? What are your responsibilities right now as an executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association?
Well, we have about 60 chapters around the state. All over the state, and it's been a challenge with COVID to do our usual fundraising, which are banquets and those kind of things, but we've been having some of that. But, you know, our organization focuses on we do three main things. We focus on habitat, and we're active at the legislature and on issues, and then we also do education with our youth four corn camps. So some of those were curtailed this year, but we're sure hoping things change soon.
I had a chance and opportunity to meet with you and Mercedes and the rest of your gang down there in Woodbury. I forget the name of the pub, the microbrewery we were at, which was really a cool place, by the way.
Third Act.
What's it called?
It was called Third Act.
Boy, that's a nice joint. You know, it was really, really cool. And it was fun to have you had a guest speaker as well and talk about what's happening with MDHA, it was neat to see how you guys work. I've never been to any kind of a meeting like that, and it was pretty much informational and informal. But the young lady who was there was talking about the first chronic wastings disease, I think, in Anoka County, I think. And that's
– It was Dakota. And it was
Dakota
County. It was Barb Keller from the DNR, who's their big game program leader, and she's great. And she gave a lot of information on CWD. And I'll just actually put in a plug now, if you're a hunter, archery, or coming into the firearm season, if you are hunting in one of the CWD – testing zones, it's voluntary this year because of COVID, but please try to do a sample because they're short, and we want to get as much info on that as we can. So I'll put in that plug for DNR and all deer hunters.
Craig, how do you do a sample? Can you go over that process briefly?
Oh, I'm sorry. You can actually, they do have stations there, so you can bring them in the mandatory areas. They will be able to help you through that. And if you go to the DNR website, it will explain it. You can actually do your own testing, and it's removing the lymph nodes. And on the U of M website, and I think DNR probably leads you there, they show you how to do that because our U of M diagnostic lab will do tests for any hunter who wants to submit samples and get it tested. But what I was referring to was the areas where there's either been a positive CWD farm or in the areas in the southeast and Dakota County and then in Crow Wing County where there's been wild deer and they're testing in that sampling in that area to see if there's any more disease.
Hey, Craig, you were talking. You and I talked to yesterday a little bit or text back and forth, and one of the things you wanted to talk about was hides for habitat. And this has been going on for quite a while. If I remember last year, we talked a little bit about it as well, and hopefully you being on the 4 Outdoorsman with us spreads the word and gets some things done. There were a lot of hides.
Go ahead.
No, there were a lot of hides that were turned in for you guys, and hopefully that continues. But tell us all about that program.
Yeah, it's been around for 35 years now, and over that time we're getting close to 1 million hides, and what we do is we resell them to hide buyers, and we turn that money into habitat, and we've raised over $5.5 million in that time. So a lot of hunters don't even think about it if they go to a processor, they don't even think about asking for their hide, or they might throw their hide away on their own. We have hundreds of boxes all around the state. They're orange boxes. They'll be at a holiday station or other places where you'd see them, and you can just dump your hide in there, and we collect them and clean them and sell them. So on our website, which is mndeerhunters.com, you can find out exactly where you can go by your own location, and it'll show you where our hides boxes are. So it's a great program, doesn't cost anything for the hunter, and we can turn that around and turn it into habitat.
Great program.
Hey, Craig, Mark here.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, with the whole COVID thing, being in the outdoors industry, we saw a huge, huge jump in fishing and turkey hunting in the spring. It seems like a million people are out bow hunting right now. Do you think the numbers of actual hunters are going to be way up this year?
I hope so. I believe so. I think small game sales were up, too, and been following that trend. Of course, a lot of people don't buy their deer license till later, so, you know, the next, I guess, week and a half, we'll see how that comes out. But I'm sure hoping we get an uptick in participation and that we can hold some of those people once they get a chance to do it.
Hey, Craig, you've been executive director, I think, for maybe, what, 4 or 5 years? How long has it been?
It'll be 6 years come January.
Boy, it sure flies, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, I was telling somebody that I'm reading my wife reads the obituaries every day, as a matter of fact, and Sunday's got, seems like everybody dies on Saturday, right? Because there's 50 of these people in there. And Matt Blair from the Minnesota Vikings passed away. And I'm thinking, my God, it seems like he played 5 years ago, you know, and he's 70 years old, and which is not old, obviously. And so time flies, and condolences to the Matt Blair family. These young guys next to us don't even know who Matt Blair was, or for the Minnesota Vikings. Anyway, back to the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. I was on your website this morning, and looking at your calendar, there's something going on all the time. In November, right now, in October, I think there was like 30 events or chapter meetings. November, there's 18 because most people are out there in the woods hunting and all that, but there's something going on all the time.
And some of those, yeah, and some of those have changed. So we still have had some banquets. In fact, I had one yesterday, and we're making sure we are at venues where they make sure they're COVID compliant. And so we've had some somewhat traditional banquets that are a little smaller in size. And then we've gone to some virtual raffles for chapters, and the meetings that we're having for the chapters are typically by video as well. And we certainly hope as we get into spring that that may change. But, yeah, we are active, and when you have 60 chapters, they're all doing some good things. So there is a lot of opportunity, and hopefully when we get, as I said, into spring and into summer, things will have changed, and we can restart our four-corn camps, which are week-long camps for kids from 11 to 17-year-olds. They're three different levels, so lots of good things happening.
You know, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, we're talking with Craig Engwell, and I'll tell you what, I read, it's, if you're not a member, it's $35 a year for an adult. What can someone expect as a member of the MDHA?
Well, you're supporting our mission. So we've done, gosh, in the last, we do over $1 million a year of habitat projects almost every year. They're small and big. And then we're active at the Capitol. I'm down there quite a bit, but we have a lobbyist that works for us that's tracking all the happenings at the Capitol, and you're supporting our camps and things like that. But our magazine that we put out, it's put out quarterly, is just we get a lot of comments on how it's, people like it because it's, the quality is so high and you don't have all the ads from like a lot of other publications. So you're doing good things with your money, and you get to read a really good magazine as well.
Hey, Craig, Sam here. I got a question for you, a little bit off topic. I'm going to switch topics.
Yeah.
I should say, with the deer hunting, What's your opinion, and do you think Minnesota will ever go to crossbows across the board?
That's, you're hitting on that. That's the show in itself right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's come up twice. So we're a very grassroots democratic organization, so chapters can bring up resolutions each year, and then we vote on them at our annual meeting. And in the last 5 years, that's come up twice. The first year, it was rejected like 52-48%. It came up again a couple years ago, and it was more like a two-thirds, one-third. And you're aware of the issues there. Some traditional archers aren't as keen on it. Others, on the flip side, the argument is that when you're trying to recruit new hunters, it's another way to do that. So I don't know. It's split in our organization, and it's split at the Capitol as well. So another issue that's a little different is whether Minnesota would go rifle statewide like some of the neighboring states have done and get rid of the then you wouldn't have to worry about your 870s, Drew.
There you go. There you go.
But that's another issue that's kind of been around in the last session and may come up again.
On the crossbow thing, do you guys, obviously it's strictly Minnesota, but do you guys ever, you know, communicate with the neighboring states to see, because I know Wisconsin switched, you know, 3 or 4 years ago to crossbows. Do you guys ever, like, communicate with them to see how it went for them, see if there was a huge increase in hunters? Because I get the argument about the traditional hunters, but I just wanted to see, curious if you guys...
We pay attention to that, and of course, we go by what our membership, you know, what our, again, being a grassroots, what our members say is what we push for, and we're kind of split. And I know DNR, Minnesota DNR, pays attention to the other states as well, and Wisconsin's got a lot of data, and it's interesting. I think it was either last year or this year is the first time their crossbow harvest passed the traditional archery harvest, and those are some of the things that people raise and look at and consider those issues. So we certainly pay attention to it. But since we haven't taken a strong position on it, it's more to learn and see what's happening and see how it affects. Does it affect recruitment, or, you know? So we follow it, but we have not taken a formal position.
Craig, how many chapters have you got?
Just about 60.
Okay, and are there any parts of the state of Minnesota that do not have a chapter where you would wish there would be one?
I would like to see us be a little stronger, but, well, actually in the metro. I'd like to see us be stronger in the metro. Some of our metro hunters join their chapters where they hunt, so that's one of the reasons we had the Woodbury event that you were at, Stru.
Right.
And then we could be a little stronger in the far southwest down by Marshall in that area. But we do have the state pretty well covered.
How many members have you got, and let's say how does that compare to, let's say, 2012 or 13?
I'd say we're at about, and it's a good question, because we had all our banquets from mid-March on in the spring canceled, and then we've had hit or miss this fall, so it's given us less opportunity. That's where we get most of our members, is through our banquets.
Oh, I imagine.
We're at about 16,000 now, where we've been more closer to 20 years past.
And how many hunters how many hunters were there last year in the state of Minnesota, do you know?
It's about 500,000.
Yeah.
Across, you know, archery, firearm, muzzleloader.
Well, I think 20,000 would be a reasonable number if there's 400,000 hunters out there, deer hunters out there.
Let's put you on the spot, Craig. Why don't you give us 20 seconds of why we should sign up?
I think you should sign up because we really are the only voice at the Capitol that advocates for the deer hunters and for our issues, on CWD and different things like that. We're right at the table, and we're testifying at hearings and doing those things. Our habitat work's been tremendous. We've done a number of big projects worth over $6 million in the last few years, and every year I'd say we're doing at least $1 million, so we're adding parcels to WMAs, or we're doing shearing to improve habitat, and that's done with local dollars at the local level. I mean, I think that's a big selling point for us, is we're the Minnesota deer hunters. We're not the national deer hunters.
Right.
So all people's money who join us stays right at home. And I'm a member of DU and PF and the national ones, but what's unique about us is we're strong and we're local. So I think that's, if you want your money to do a good thing and keep it local, we're the organization for you.
Yep. Run your side. We're going to spread the word for you. Hey, Craig, we got to keep on going. We got Ron Shearer next, but I'll tell you what, we promise we're going to put some information about Hides for Habitat on our website and Facebook and all that, and we'll try to raise as much money as we can for the state of Minnesota, because it stays here and it's doing good things.
You bet. Well, you take care, Ron. Are you sure you can end your show by 7?
Well, I tell you what, it's it depends if he's got a brandy or not. I'm not sure, because I might have a brandy. But who knows? He's a good guy, and I'll tell you what, he's a storyteller, and we may just have to push the Mark Fisher to 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. We'll work it out.
Yeah, you can actually ask him about his MDHA. He's proud of the fact, I think his MDHA number is something like 13, so he was right at the start of MDHA. I can give him a lot of crap sometimes in jest, but he's been a great supporter of us and was one of the early members.
He's a fun guy. All right, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. We will spread the word, MDHA, and it's only $35 for adults to join, so do it, man. Lots of good things happening. A lot of money goes back to the deer hunters of the state of Minnesota and Habitat. Thanks for being such a good friend of the 4 Outdoorsman, sir.
All right, you guys have a good evening.
Yep, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Well, I tell you, he's a good man. Hey, we're going to be right back with Ron Shearer, the old Minnesota-bound guy, but he's got a lot of stories. Be right back.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top five fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's brewed for service. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers six different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Did I mention it's roasted right here in Minnesota? Operatorcoffee.com.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Second Amendment lives. Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show is back. This Friday and Saturday at the Bram Event Center. New guns, old guns, accessories, antiques, and more. Open Friday evening, 4 to 8, Saturday, 9 to 4. Only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free with an adult. That's this Friday and Saturday at the Bram Event Center. Visit CrocodileProductions.com for details. CrocodileProductions.com.
Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to smoke.
Take a brief train ride and trick-or-treat. Get a family pack to Minnesota Transportation Museum's Train Shop Trick-or-Treat. A family can go for just $25.
Deals on radio. Deals on radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. We have Ron Scher on the line, but I'm going to do a couple quick shout-outs. We're such big shots, we can make Ron Scher wait a second. First shout out is Bill Katz, a good sponsor and friend of ours, says, home listening, have a great show. Jesse Koskinimi says, beautiful morning on the river, whacking geese. And Craig Rudolph Jr. got himself a nice little buck last night and butchered it up after pumping carving with the kids. I also have a special shout out. It's my son Sam's third birthday. Happy birthday, Sam. I love you. And shout out to my father-in-law, Malloy, who's listening tonight. He's in the Twin Cities, so... thank you for listening, and that brings us to our special guest, Mr. Ron Scherer. Ron, are you there, buddy?
Well, I am, and you know, those are some nice congratulations to folks that are sharing their rewards.
Yeah, we do the shout-out every week. It's kind of a fun way for people to write in and talk about what they're doing. Maybe you should do that on Minnesota Bound. I'll let you steal that idea.
We have better ideas.
Hey, Ron Struman here. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. Ron Scher, of course, with Minnesota Bound and a whole bunch of other things. You know, we had Simone on, one of your daughters, Simone, on a couple of weeks, and she was calling me Struman, but she called the two guys next to me whiners. She's a straight...
Oh, I think I know one of them, and he is that.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Ron. How are things going for you? Stu had to get you on because of an awesome article you wrote about your fishing woes this summer. And, You know, most fishermen are braggers on social media, so it's kind of refreshing once in a while to hear a man of your caliber talk about his woes.
Well, you know, I've never it takes a real man to say you're a stumbler or bumbler once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
But that aside, I've never been afraid to make a little fun of myself. We all, if you're honest with yourself, if you hunt or fish, there are moments when you do stupid things or things don't work out like you think they should, and you wonder, do I really know what I'm doing? And this year, this summer, since the opener in May, I've had that feeling all summer. I don't know what I'm doing. It started with opening day, as I wrote. My daughter Simone was in another boat. She was running the electric trolling motor, and she was throwing a 16-ounce jig with fathead minnows, which are my jigs, by the way. And she's out fishing me 5-1, and I mean, it was just like, it was crazy. I mean, we were fishing the same water, and she'd pull it in, and I still had a missed strike. And this, anyway, that started a downhill slide for me mentally, I guess. And so all summer I had leaving lakes without a bite, wondering if I know what I'm doing to catch a bass. The wind followed me all summer. I swear it did. But there was a lot of wind. And anyway, so I wrote all about that, including the moment when I launched my boat one day.
I love this one. Summer.
What's that?
I love this one. This is great, boy. You got to share this one.
I launched my boat one day, one nice summer day, on a public access that's kind of a sandy beach as well, which was good. But normally I'm by myself, so I have a rope. I latch it onto the front the bow hook, and then I put it on the on a cleat on a dock, and I slowly back my boat in and watch in the mirrors. And when the boat leaves the trailer, I kind of pull forward, so everything's cool. And I stop and get out of my truck, and I look, and the rope I had put on the cleat, how it came off of the cleat, I have no idea. The next thing, my boat is floating out to sea, and I've got a remote talon, so thank gosh I had it around my neck. So I put the talon down, which stopped it from going all the way to Bemidji. So I got no choice. My boat's sitting out there. There's nobody around. Usually that little beach area is full of swimmers. I could have conned them into going to get my boat rope, you know. Nobody around, so took all the crap out of my pants, pockets, took my shoes off, and proceeded to wade in up to my chest to grab the rope to bring my boat back. And about that time, I hear a voice, and it's the guy, it's a neighbor. He saw me pull in. He says, geez, that's a nice-looking boat. I wanted to take a closer look at it. And so he knew who, I mean, he recognized me, and I said, okay. I said, thank you for, you can tell your neighbors what you just saw, but you can't tell anybody else.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll tell anyway, you what, Mark, you know, I if you can't laugh at yourself, well, life is not worth living damn near. But I tell people I'm a left-handed Pollock from the east side of St. Paul, and we've all done screw-ups, and I enjoy making fun of myself. But this reminds me, I was deer hunting about 25 years ago, northeast of Lake Vermilion. And we had to cross. It was a beautiful day, so I could take a little boat. My dad had a 14-foot boat with a 10-horse on it, and I could, instead of walking a half a mile through the woods to where I wanted to hunt, I could take this little boat across Rice Bay, which is about 300 yards across. And I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm out there at 5:30 in the morning. I get the 10-horse going, and I get about 100 yards from the shore, and the damn motor shut down on me. And I'm in the middle of Rice Bay with my rifle, my orange hunting stuff, no oars, no nothing, can't get it going, and I'm praying to God nobody sees me. And I tell you what, I got smart. I took the top of the motor off, and I used it as a scoop and got back to shore. And I thought, how embarrassing, you know what I'm talking about? And you're Ron Scherer. This kind of stuff doesn't happen to you. The other story I want you to share is when you got upset because your John boat wouldn't start, that the jet boat you had, whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I have a 25 horse jet, Mercury on my John boat. I live on the Rum River. I use it there.
Yeah.
And I picked it up from a dealer. I won't name the dealer because just out of kindness to them. Picked it up from them. I always assume they kind of go over the motor, make sure it works. So I launched the boat. My wife helped me launch. She leaves with the trailer. I'm out there floating in the river, and went to start the motor. The motor starts. I go forward, and it just will go real slow. It sputters and sputters. I open it up, and it won't do anything. I go, what the H? What the H? So I finally get it back to shore with the electric trolling motor, and I'm sitting there, and I call the dealership, and I just raise hell. I just picked this boat up, for God's sake. So I just picked it up, and it's not working with a damn. And they said, well, you didn't ask to have it gone. I said, well, I've gotten, most people do, you know. And then I hung up in a fit, and then I raised the motor up, and oh, my gosh. Here, when I first started the motor, there was, unbeknownst to me, there was a plastic bag floating on the bottom of the river, and my motor sucked it up perfectly, covered the whole intake. So no wonder it couldn't go anywhere.
That's funny.
I took the bag off, and it worked perfectly.
So I imagine right away then, Ron, you called the dealership and apologized with your tail between your legs, right?
I should have. I did. I think they were happy just to get rid of me, frankly.
Yeah, I tell you, but I love this quote you also had in the Outdoor News is when you were talking about the fishing with your daughter. Well, whether it's with either one of your daughters, you know, but this happened to be Simone, and you said, you know, I don't care if they outfish me. I'm tickled pink when my daughters outfish me. He says, oh, heck, where's the bottle of Crown? You know?
Yeah, there's some truth to that.
That's the real story. Hey, you know, I want to ask you a couple of questions. You know, you're still on top of the industry, of course, and there's all kinds of controversy oh, by the way, first, Craig Engwall, who is our first guest, said to say hi to you, and he said, I still know Ron's MDHA, Minnesota Deer Hunters Association number, and he thinks it's number 13. Is that correct?
Yeah, they gave that to me. Well, Roger Holmes embarrassed me one day. He said, you should belong to this group. You should belong to this Deer Hunters. I go, well, yeah, you're probably right. He said, here, give me $10 or whatever it was at that time. Give me $10. Here's your membership with your number on it already. So I gave him $10. And he gave it to me. It was membership number 13. He started to laugh, and it's still membership number 13.
And the bad luck still follows you, huh? That's what's happening.
Well, some ways I do okay deer hunting, and then some okay I don't. I mean, isn't that what deer hunting's all about?
Yeah, it's just like fishing. So you planning on getting in the woods for deer hunt this year as well?
I am. I'm going to go to a new area. I've got a friend down in southeast Minnesota in Houston County. He's invited me down there. He sent me pictures of humongous deer. I think if I saw one of those, I'd be shaking so bad I'd miss. But anyway, I'm going to go down there for a couple, 2-3 days. And I'm not much of a meat hunter for venison. My family, I like it. My wife doesn't like it so much, so I kind of just trophy hunt, which is fine.
Yeah.
If I don't get a big one, that's okay too. But but you mentioned involved. I'm on the Lessard-Sams Council, as you know, and
right.
The legislature just passed the Bonnie Bill. We're unsure about what outdoor people or the outdoors got with that. There was story that said maybe in the Outdoor News, as a matter of fact, that maybe it wasn't so much disappointed there, but we did put a request in. I think we had some legislators supporting more money to improve our public accesses, our boat accesses. There are a lot of them are in bad shape, as you well know. And anyway, and money for our walleye hatcheries, which are also outdated. So we'll see what happens. I haven't seen the final report yet.
You know, you're talking. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to talk about that. How are things going with Minfish? I know that you're promoting here now on Bob, and you've been fundamental in that development. Are things coming along for Minfish? Are you happy with the organization so far?
Well, yeah, we're doing fine. There's always, apathy out there among anglers, and I think there always will be. But what we're trying to do, also, COVID put a big curve towards this because we had more ambition in the legislature this year to make a ripple, and which is their main goal. And but COVID shut all that down and whatever. But we're not going to go away. We have a good relationship with the DNR, which doesn't mean we're just agreeing with everything they do, but we have an open line of communication. We're working with them about learning ourselves as well as how their walleye stocking plans, how are they decided, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think they told us that we've asked some questions that made them rethink some of the things that they're doing. So that's a good thing. So to answer your question, Mark, we're pleased. We're only, a year old, so to speak. And so we're going, man.
Let's talk about a little controversy. We like controversy. What are your thoughts about reducing the limit of panfish from 10, whatever they are, something to 5 to some lakes make them to 5 and some lakes 10? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's no doubt that we've exploited bluegills in this state. To find many lakes with 10-inch bluegills is almost impossible. And if you do, people go there and they catch them and they keep them. And I don't care if it's 5 or 10 or 20, whatever it is. So, and there we are. We're back moaning and groaning and bitching about stunted bluegills. So,
right.
DNR is trying to do something. I support it for the most part. I get a little irritated at guys that say, oh, hey, my kids like to go out, that's not enough for a meal. Well, I think it is. You can go out a couple times.
So, Ron, you're not as big as I am.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, yeah, yes.
But let's put it this way. We have to do something. You know, there are two fish in this state that have been exploited. Bluegill is one. The other is the northern pike. We know this because for 50 years, there was a fishing contest in Park Rapids, Fuller Tackle, and somebody analyzed 50 years of their data, and the size of a northern pike it took back 50 years ago to win was huge compared to what it was 50 years later. Same with bluegills. Yet a 10-pound walleye would still win the walleye division today versus 30, 40, 50 years ago.
That's a good point, yeah.
That means, yeah, so there's a lesson there.
You know, there's all kinds of different ideas people come up with. A guy said, how about just closing the season during the spawning, or how about just releasing all bluegills over 10? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's tough to enforce that. I think as more anglers learn, they will do it themselves about the 10. I don't think you can turn the clock back. I noticed there was somebody who said, hey, we got to get rid of all the depth finders, et cetera. You can't do that either. I think we all need to take personal responsibility for what we're doing out there. And you know, if you're keeping a bunch of 9, 10-inch bluegills, you're wrecking your own fun down the road, or you're wrecking the next generation's fun. I think we all need to take responsibility. I know those are nice words. But in truth, they are. Those of us who hunt and fish, we don't do it before a crowd. You know, we don't throw a touchdown pass for approval.
There you go.
We're by ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And if we don't show some ethics and responsibility, nobody knows except you do.
Yeah.
So that's important.
You're a great man, Ron Shearer. Thanks for being on the 4-Outdoorsman. Before I let you go, though, I have to tell you this. I don't think I've ever, when installing a battery, put the black wires to the positive and the red wires to the negative. I don't think I've ever done that, sir, so I'm one ahead of you.
You should try it sometime.
Take care, Ron. Thanks. Say hi to the girls, and thanks for being on the 4-Outdoorsman. Just take care of yourself, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care. What a great guy.
He's a good boss. He's a good man. Fun to work with. Thank you, all our guests, for coming on. Let's thank our sponsors quick. Thank you, Power Lodge, right down the road to Ramsey. Great dealership, have great deals going on right now. Cats Covers, get your Cats Covers now while they're still in stock, because Ice fishing is going to go bonkers. Thank you, Clam Outdoors. Get your stuff right now. And who else we got?
Go ahead. Check out McKay's in Waite Park if you're looking for a vehicle, especially a Dodge Ram. And also, Operator Coffee, try my favorite, Roast 22.
Devil's Lake Tourism, guys. One of the best places to go. If Kurt Wahlbeck likes to go there as much as he can, Outdoor Bound TV, Devil's Lake has got to be a great place. So go see those guys out there as well. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon. Have a great week. And Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.